today on Working in the Suburbs.
I turned to him and I said, Stevie Wonder. And he looked at me like, no, not even close. Hi, everybody. It's Patrick here. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. We just finished up the Rye Cooter experience, and if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, I encourage you to go back and listen to the whole series, or save it if you got a long drive somewhere this summer. There are 7 total episodes, and would make good listening. Or if you're getting on an airplane ride, you want to download it before you hop on board. That might not be a bad way to go about it either. Many thanks to Kirk Gallagher for putting together all that info and delivering it in such a charming way. I want to tell you that April new music is going to be coming up shortly, so we want you to get your picks in as soon as you can. Thank you to those who have already done so. Several picks already submitted to rock@suburbspod.com with a voicemail attached, and we'd love to hear from you with your picks for this month. Thinking we're probably going to be doing that pretty soon. We don't have it quite nailed down yet, but you might want to think about getting in your picks this weekend if you can. And we'll give you a firm deadline on that coming up shortly. If you're like me, you can't get anything done unless you know what the deadline is. You know how much time you have left. So thanks again to everybody who already has submitted, and we are looking forward to everybody's picks from April. Seems like 2026 has started off as a really interesting year for tunes, so that's a good sign. Good sign. That's one good thing in the world, anyway. Focus on that. Hey, here's another good thing. Today is the 76th birthday of Stevie Wonder. That's right. If you're listening to this episode on the day it's released, it is May 13th, and that is the day that Stevie Wonder was born. He was born in 1950, May 13th, as Steveland Hardaway Judkins in the town of Saginaw, Michigan. A couple of notes here about Stevie. I think a lot of people know most of this, but according to the source of all human knowledge, Wonder was a virtual one-man band during much of his peak years. His use of synthesizers and other electronic musical instruments in the 1970s reshaped the conventions of contemporary R&B. He also helped drive such genres into the album era, crafting his LPs as cohesive and consistent, in addition to socially conscious statements with complex compositions. Sales of more than 100 million records worldwide. He has won 25 Grammy Awards, the most by any male solo artist, and an Academy Award, if you like those awards. And he's also been inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Music Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the Songwriters Hall of Fame. What I thought I'd do, since it's Stevie's birthday, is come up with 3 cover versions that I'd like to share with you, and each offer a kind of a different take on Stevie's music. If you look at some of the sites that are out there that keep track of who's covered who and what covers there are out there and all this stuff, it's mind-boggling the amount of people who have covered Stevie Wonder from one end of the spectrum to another. I mean, it's just incredible. I don't know if anybody has been covered as much as him, maybe the Beatles or Elvis Presley. I don't know who's covered more, but it's kind of amazing about Stevie. So I want to start with a record that was released in the spring of 1973 on the Epic Records label. It was the self-titled album by Beck, Bogart, and Apice. This was a rock supergroup and power trio formed by English guitarist Jeff Beck, evolving from the Jeff Beck Group. It featured the bassist Tim Bogart and the drummer Carmen Apice, musicians from America who had played together in the band Vanilla Fudge and Cactus. Years ago, I had a friend who I used to hang out with a lot, and we were both into music, and he was into a lot heavier stuff than I was at the time. I would get there eventually, but it wasn't something I was really into at that time. But he was definitely into a lot of metal, and he liked a lot of heavier music. And he was also into a little bit of, you know, stuff like Jeff Beck and a little more guitar virtuosity and things like that. But he had this first Beck Bogert and a Peace album, and I used to listen. We used to listen to it a lot, and I always really enjoyed it. And this cover they do of Stevie Wonder's Superstition is pretty amazing. It's heavy, that's for sure. And it was one of the songs that I, you know, later on I was like, you know, I didn't really realize that you can take a cover song and really put your own artistic stamp on it. I mean, it was one of the first ones that made me think about this. Like, oh, I guess if you're covering a song, you don't necessarily have to cover it exactly like the band who recorded it. And here I was at the very nascent stages of being in a band myself and trying to struggle through R.E.M. covers note for note and talk about the passion and things like that. But it definitely changed my mind. But what I didn't learn until later is the backstory of why Beck Bogert and a Peace recorded it. And I can tell you this, Superstition itself had, the song had grown out of a jam session between Jeff Beck and Stevie Wonder, with Jeff Beck introducing Wonder to the opening drum part. And in return for the overdubs and work that Jeff Beck did on Stevie Wonder's album Talking Book, Stevie gave the song to Jeff Beck to record and release as his own single. He gave him Superstition. Okay. But it took a while for various reasons for the Beck Bogert and a Peace album to come out. And that means that Stevie's song came out first, his version. It became the big hit, the well-known song, and theirs was relegated to just a cover version, but found that to be a fascinating thing that I learned later on. So let's listen to Beck Bogert and a Peace, Fracture, Superstition. From another angle, here is a cover of Stevie Wonder's song Too High. It comes from the 1973 album Inner Visions. And the next year, Freddie Hubbard, who was leaving Creed Taylor's CTI Records and had signed a new contract with a brand new label, Columbia Records, put out his first LP for Columbia. It's called High Energy. It was recorded completely live at Sunset Sound Recorders in Hollywood between April 29th and May 2nd, 1974. And it's a pretty decent Freddie Hubbard album. And I particularly am drawn to the cover of Too High on this record. It's an example of how I think not only were rock musicians, pop musicians, R&B musicians, but jazz musicians were completely tuned into what Stevie was doing, because he was breaking ground in the mid-70s, and all kinds of things sprung out from what Stevie did. Not only jazz, but disco things and pop things, of course, and rock things, and of course, soul music as well. So let's take a listen now to Freddie Hubbard doing Too High from 1974 from his High Energy LP. Right, and we're going to play out today with one that many of you may know. I thought it was important to include it in this little three-song cross-section because it comes from a California band who were right on the alternative cutting edge at the time and were very interested in mixing funk with their rock music, and they did so to some degree, in my opinion. Maybe not as successfully as some others, but it was certainly successful for them. When I say successful, I mean more from an artistic standpoint. But they certainly had a very successful time with this song. And it's the Red Hot Chili Peppers from their album Mother's Milk, released in the summer of 1989 on the EMI label. The song is Higher Ground, and a song probably well known to most music fans, most Stevie fans, of course. Mother's Milk was the fourth album by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and it was the last release on EMI Records, and it was also the first release with the guitarist John Frusciante, is that how you say that, on guitar, and Chad Smith on drums. It was released as a single, and it's really interesting to think of a band of guys that grew up listening to a lot of punk rock music and participating in that scene in California, but also were devotees of George Clinton and Parliament and that kind of heavy funk stuff too. So obviously they were going to be into Stevie's work as well. Maybe not the ballads, maybe not You Are the Sunshine of My Life. I don't think Red Hot Chili Peppers would have covered that, but they definitely do a job on Higher Ground. So let's go out today with the Red Hot Chili Peppers doing Higher Ground on Stevie's 76th birthday. Happy birthday to you, Stevie. We will talk to you guys with another podcast tomorrow. Yeah. He gave him superstition.